us if he could drop the temperature 40 degrees. God just did it. And thank God that he does what he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. He is a sovereign God, and he does not need us. But thank God that he so loved us, that he gave us heaven's best, that we might become the righteousness of God. We want to keep Brother Gibbs in our prayers. He is in Dothan, Alabama, and engaged in a gospel meeting there. Keep he and Sister Gibbs in your prayers as they travel, that God bless them with traveling grace, as well as that the meeting would go well and that much fruit be brought to God Almighty. This morning we want to look at the book of Judges. As we continue in our theme, we have been challenged on last week, and we want to continue to delve into this idea of faith, sowing generation to generation. And in Judges, chapter 2, and starting with verse number 6, the Bible says, "And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gosh. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there rose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." I want to consider from this theme, faith sowing generation to generation. I want to address you from the topic, seeds for the next generation. Seeds for the next generation. As we consider this thing, which implies that we are preparing for the next generation of Christian leaders, mothers, fathers, and individual members. This narrative in the book of Judges reminds us that the children of Israel failed to do in the generation that followed a faithful generation. It tells us what they failed to do. And I think by looking at what they failed to do, I hope to plant some seeds of what we should do in order to perpetuate faith and faithfulness in subsequent generations. When I was a younger man, when I was even a boy, I would say, if I could only have lived during Bible times, perhaps I would have a stronger faith. I don't know if I'm alone in that testimony, but I always thought if I had been there to see what they saw and to experience what they had experienced, that perhaps my faith would be better. I thought maybe if I had been an eyewitness to the 10 plagues, that it wouldn't take me that much to remain faithful to God. I thought maybe if I had seen the Red Sea split open and walk between walls of water, that maybe I wouldn't have done some of the foolish things that, come on here, I know I'm not the only one who said, maybe if I had been there, if I were a participant in God's buffet of manna and quail every day, didn't even have to go anywhere, to just go outside and pick it up, maybe I would have some more thankfulness. Perhaps if I had seen the Jordan River roll back like a scroll with every step that we took to enter the promised land, every step the Jordan River rolled back, and maybe if I had been in that number, the challenges that I faith, maybe I would have had greater faith if I had seen those events. What if I had been in the number to march around the walls of Jericho? Oh, and to see them fall flat without a battering ram or a bulldozer, just because God's people marched around the walls of Jericho at his command, maybe my faith would have been stronger. And if I had just been a soldier fighting on the battlefield with Joshua against the Amorites, when Joshua made an emergency call to God to stay the sun and the moon, make them stand still so that we might have just a little more time. I don't know. I think sometimes if I had been there, my faith would be stronger. And I know there's a lot of young people who hear these Bible stories over and over, and they wished, if I had seen that. You know, In Old Testament time, when children were disobedient and rebellious, they took them out and stoned them. I thought maybe if that was still going on, I wouldn't have done some of the things and put my mother and father through some of the things I put them through. I would resolve to be greater and stronger in my faithfulness to God. But here are the children of Israel, just a few generations away from all of these events and occurrences. Their grandparents, parents, aunties, and uncles, and even some of their second cousins were eyewitnesses and participants in these very occasions. And now the Bible says we have a generation that is called not the greatest generation, not baby boomers, Generation X, Y, Z, or Generation Next, but this generation was called the generation that knew not the Lord. And I just said, how could a generation rise up and not know the Lord? How could people who were privy to this kind of knowledge and witness these kinds of miracles have the audacity to fail to remember the God who did it all? All of that experience, how could they not know the God of their fathers? And as I looked at this text, I saw some implications from this indictment against Israel. First, it is implied that they were to know the Lord. Each generation was to have a relationship with God. This relationship was not limited to one generation. It was not a one and done type of thing. Being in a relationship with God was not just for the old folks. When Moses met with the people in the plains of Moab before they crossed over the Jordan River into the promised land, one of the commands he gave them was that the people were to keep his words. He said that these commands shall be in your heart. The people, these commands would be in your heart. And watch what he says in Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 8. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Moses said, it's important that your children know. They know about the Lord, and they know what the Lord had done for them. And mother and father and grandmother and grandfather, it's your responsibility to know that they know about me. Then watch, I want you to see, put this up on the screen, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 10 through 13. Deuteronomy 31, 10 through 13. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every seven years, in the solemnity of the year of release in the Feast of Tabernacle, verse number 11, when all Israel is to come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Verse number 12 says, gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Who you want to do all the words of this law? Men, women, and children. Verse number 13 says, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whether ye go over Jordan to possess. Every 7 years, God's people were to gather together in the place that God chose. Men, women, and children were to assemble to learn to fear the Lord. They were to do this every 7 years for as long as they live in the land In other words, it was a perpetual, continual, repetitive process occurrence so that every man would know and learn and fear the Lord. And that type of their gathering is replicated in our gathering. Every 7 days, on the first day of the week, men, women, children gather together to learn how to fear the Lord. It ain't about you. It's about learning how to fear, respect, reverence, honor an awesome God. In the place that God has chosen, He's chosen but one place. That place is the church of Christ. The church that Jesus established. Every 7 days, we come here to learn how to fear the Lord. Oh, when they sit on our rows, our children, we got to teach them how to fear the Lord. They can sing. They can fold their little hands and bow their heads in prayer, because you are the one who is responsible for teaching them how to fear the Lord. I got a long ways to go. So how does a generation come up and not know God? How can one forget God? See, what we need to understand, the process of forgetting. Forgetting is the process of, and I know I haven't gotten to the text. I'm going to get there. The process of accidentally or deliberately failing to remember people, events, or ideas. See, when we think about forgetting, we often think about we accidentally failed to remember. We go to the store and we forget to buy the eggs. I forgot to get the milk. I forget about the sugar. And so I did not deliberately intend to forget the milk. And so often when we see the word forget, we think of it in our way. But then there's another side to forgetting. When we deliberately, purposely, intentionally fail to remember. You see it. You see it, parents, every day when you tell your children, clean your room. And then the bed that sits in the big bed that sits in the middle of the room is unmade. I'm talking about your children, not mine. Unmade. And when you ask them, did you make up the bed? Oh, I forgot. You mean that big bed that sits in the middle of the room that you cannot? I forgot. You brothers, you know, we may have done that a time or two where we want to see the fourth quarter of the game, and while we're traveling home, you get a call from your wife to go by the store, and you know that it's only minutes left in the game because you've been listening to it on the radio, and she gives you this laundry list of things to pick up at the store, and somehow you forgot to go back. I'm sorry to drop the dime on us, brethren, but sometimes we do it deliberately. And you know, your wife will tell you when you did it deliberately. I just called you. But Peter addressed this idea of deliberate or willful forgetting in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 5. He talking about the scoffers. He says, "For this they willfully forget, are ignorant of, they are willingly, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." In other words, there are people who are deliberate forgetters of what God says. See, watch here. In Judges chapter 3 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "So the children did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherahs. It was not that they did not know." I didn't give you the right verse, did I? No, I did. Yes, I did. I've read it from another version. "It was not that they did not know God, but when they chose idol gods, they forgot and forsook the Lord God." See, they did not fail to remember that Moses had commanded them that thou shalt have no other gods before me. But what they did was they served Baals and deliberately fail to remember God. And if we're not careful, some of our choices reveal that we have forgotten God. Because the second implication of this text is that having faith and being faithful is a matter of choice. In other words, it does not matter what they saw, what they heard, how much they were exposed to, nor does it matter if you and I live during biblical times to see everything that transpired with all of those events. Faith is a choice. That's why Joshua told them in the generation prior, "Choose this day whom ye will serve." Every generation, every family, every individual must make a choice. And notice the urgency of the choice. He says, "This day." Not someday. Not one day. Not Monday. This day, choose who you will serve. And every one of us has to make that choice. Man, woman, boy, and girl has to make that choice. If we will have a generation that will serve the Lord and be faithful to Him, we're going to have to choose. But in making that choice, there are some seeds that need to be germinated. Order to have faith in the next generation. I'm sorry, I'm still in my introduction. So I'm just going to have to plant one seed on you and let it be. But I want to tell you the seeds that are in here, just in case I don't get to all of them in this quarter, you at least know what the seeds were. The first seed is that of listening to the mouth of God. The second seed is that of choosing to follow faithful, courageous, and victorious examples. The third seed is to be surrounded by the right people. And the fourth seed is to depend on the grace of God. Now that's all in Judges chapter 2. And my time has gotten away, but I'm just going to try to get one seed in if I can. In Judges chapter 2 and verse number 1, notice this condemnation. Watch what the Bible says. And the angel of the Lord came upon Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land, I swear, unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. And then he asked this penetrating question. Why have you done this? See, if the next generation is going to have faith, they have to obey the voice of God. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, when you start getting into this stuff, you didn't know how much you got into it. God had given them specific instructions through Moses. Oh, you have to go to Deuteronomy 7 and verse 1 through 5. What he told them, when you go into the land, I want you to destroy everybody. Kill them all. Because you are my instrument for judgment. Now, Moses gave them that command. But in Joshua chapter 9, just a little Bible class real quick. The Gibeonites, you remember, deceived Joshua. They pretended to have come from a long way. You just have to read Joshua chapter 9. They took sacks and wine bottles and they put on worn and tattered clothes and they brought moldy and dry bread to make it look like they had come from a long way. And they went to Joshua and said, we have heard about you and we have heard of your people and we want to make a covenant with you. We have come from such a long way that even our bread has gotten moldy. The sandals that we started with were brand new, but by the time we got here, you just got to read. They deceived Joshua. But I just got to go over here and just show you this. In Joshua 9:14, the men took of their victuals asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They made a pact with these deceivers because they did not. Joshua, who led them into the promised land, if there's one mistake that he made, this is it. He did not take counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And they found out that these were our neighbors, that they were on God's hit list. But Joshua had already made a covenant with them. And because he was a man of God, he could not go back on the covenant. But he made the covenant because he did not take counsel from the mouth of God. Now, what's interesting? Oh, I'm sorry. Verse number 24 of Joshua 9. When Joshua asked them, "Why did you do this to us?" They answered Joshua and said, "Because it was certainly told thy servants," watch this now, "how the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you. Therefore, we were so afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing." I'm going to have to put a pin in it right here. Moses had been dead. Moses had been dead. But yet, these people knew Moses' command. Oh, you're not seeing this. The people who are outside of God's covenant knew God's commandments. Do you not know that there are people outside of the covenant of God that know our doctrine and our commands? But yet we won't be like them. And when we try to be like them, do you not know what they say? "I didn't think y'all did that in the Church of Christ." I got a child who is interacting with denominational members, and they tell him more about what we supposed to be doing than we actually know what we supposed to be doing. They know. And let me tell you why they know. Let me tell you why they know. Because there were some servants like Marshall Keeble who went around this country telling folk there was but one. Baptism is essential. And they, the reason why, because they tell you, don't they? I thought you Church of Christ folk knew the Bible. All I'm saying is that if we're going to be, and if we're going to have faith in the next generation, we're going to have to start obeying the voice of God. Parents, you're going to have to teach them early how to obey. See, before they even obey God, if they don't obey you, you're going to be in a world of trouble, because they're going to have problems with God, because they already got problems because you don't follow. When you're not following the commands of God, then how can you tell them?
Come on now.
He is showing us.
That's right.
He is showing us that we have got to be about obeying.
Amen.
The voice of God. That I can't go any further. Y'all, if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to obey the voice of God. And that voice is been sounded through his last spokesman, who is Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verse, God at certain times in divers manner spake in time past by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son. You want salvation, you got to listen to the Son. The Son says that no man can come to the Father except he come by me. Well, how can I come to the Father? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. In other words, you got to hear Jesus. When you hear Jesus, you heard the voice of God. Whatever he says to do, make sure you do it. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Because his word does not change. Oh, if you're here, you're not a child of God. I wish I could have told you all. We gotta start early. Obeying. Help these teachers in the school district by teaching your children how to obey. Help the administrators. If we teach them now to obey the voice of God, but we got to make sure we obey the voice of God. Whatever he says to do, we got to be committed to do it. Amen. You're here, you're not a child of God. Obey God today. I beg you to obey God by having faith in Jesus, by repenting of your sins, by confessing Christ, by going down in the watery grave of baptism. And what God will do, because he said it, he'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell within you, that you might be able to fight against the vicissitudes of this life. You're here, you're a child of God, but you've been teetering and tottering and turning against the commandments of God. Repent today. Get those things right now as we stand, as we sing the song that has been selected.